Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This is God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. May it be living water unto our souls. And Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts of faith to receive this word. Let us be attentive to it. Let us even think about ways that we can more practically obey this word as well. And so we pray for your spirit to give us conviction and illumination. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All the way back in chapter 4, Paul has been talking about the Christian life and new life in Christ. And it involves this putting off of the old self and the putting on of the new self. Now, the fruit of the new self is that it brings beauty and order to our lives. And not only does it bring beauty and order to our lives, it brings beauty and order to our relationships. And we saw previously to our marriages. And we see here also to our homes and to our families. And it's wonderful to think about because these are often the most broken places in the world. Marriages and homes. And we see that when the new self is formed or newly created, it comes and it brings beauty and order wherever it touches. But we see here, not only in marriage, but here, that beauty and order comes through a spirit of submission. It comes through the new self's ability to submit to either to God or to others. And one thing about a Christian or someone who just becomes Christian is that they realize that a big part of the Christian life, about the new life in Christ, is this idea of submitting. Like, we get that. Christians get submitting. And we see that in marriage. We see that as a husband sacrifices and serves his wife, or as his wife respects and submits to her husband. And we see it also here in relationships in the home, and we see it how the children obey their parents. Children submit to and obey their parents. Now, before we actually get into this command, I think something must be said about the fact that Paul even addresses the children. Because in ancient times, children were nobodies. They were nobodies. They were shoved aside in society. In ancient times, it was a very adult-centered world. And some of you are familiar with that scene in the Gospels where the disciples, they are shooing away the kids as if they're nuisances to Jesus. And Jesus obviously rebukes them. But see, that was the culture back then. And so it's worth noting that here Paul, he takes time to acknowledge and even to address the children in his letter. And this must have been so weird and so strange for the new believers in the church to see that he would take time to address the children. Because any big gathering or important gathering, the children were not there. But here it comes to church, and the children are there. And Paul reminds us, as he addresses the children and acknowledges them, that Christ's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. And that it's a kingdom of grace. And what Jesus does is he creates this new community. This new community that includes children, doesn't exclude them. And for that, it was radical at the time. It was very countercultural. And you see that God, through children, God gives value and worth to the weak. That those that in society they cast aside, those who are forgotten, God gives special attention to, special love towards. Now, it's also interesting to know this, that these letters that Paul wrote, they were like sermons that were read as the church was gathered together. And so Paul, he assumes here that the children, they were present in these gatherings. They were not put outside somewhere. And it's very much in line with the Spirit of Christ. And we see the value of children reflected in these gatherings. They were present. They were included. And they were even addressed. A lot of visitors come to our church and they often wonder why we have children in our worship service. You know, children can be loud and noisy. They can create a distraction. Now, we do need to train our kids to sit still, to be attentive, to be reverent in worship, because worship is a super sacred activity. But we're going too far if we're saying that they take away from the worship service. No, their presence reminds us that God's kingdom is a kingdom of grace. It's a kingdom of grace where the last shall be first and the forgotten are remembered. And so I always make the point here that children actually enhance our worship service. It brightens the kingdom of God in our midst because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And to further the value of children, Paul says this. He says, obey your parents in the Lord. And that is so significant, that phrase, in the Lord. Look at Ephesians 5, 8. It says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. In the Lord was not some loose religious term that's kind of thrown around. It's a term that has to do with identity and belonging. And so God, he sees the children in the church as members of the church. They are in the Lord, and hence the New Living Translation says this, obey your parents because you belong to God. Children, you belong to God. It's a generous and gracious view of the children in our church. God says that they are important and they are mine. And so children are a vital part of the church. And so we strive for that in our church. You know, children are included in our worship service, which is strange to some people, but we do that. You know, they're on our membership roll. They're counted as members just like all the adults. And I pride ourselves on the fact that our pastors and our elders, they teach, they take time to teach the Sunday school classes of our kids. And so we strive for that. But we can do more. Like, even for me, I'm not as consistent as I need to be. Like, I need to take cues from Paul here. He addressed the children in his sermon. And I do that from time to time, but I don't do that often enough. And so we can still improve. And, you know, for me, you know, when I think about the souls of our church, a lot of times I'm just thinking about the adults. All just the grown-ups. And how much do we pray for the souls of our kids? And for all of us who are adults here, how many of us know the names of the kids in the church? And maybe some of you are saying, man, I can't even keep up with all the kids. But they're all so important. And so we should take time to get to know the names of the kids, remember their names, and learn their names. But we could do more, even as we've made strides in saying, hey, you know, children are important. Now, I want to get into the command a little bit here. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children. And so here, when he says children, he's addressing young children who are still under their parents' roof, okay? And if I could address the children in the room here. Children, do you know that one of the best ways for you to love God is to obey your parents? That is one of the best ways to love God. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It's commandment number 5, to honor your father and your mother. And so we honor our parents by obeying our parents. Now, what does obedience look like? Again, I'm still talking to the children here for the most part. What does obedience look like? It means listening to your parents. doing what they tell you to do, whether it's clean your room, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, go to bed, do your homework, that when they say those things, you do them. Now let me ask you this. If your parents ask you to do something and you're complaining the whole time but you're doing it, is that obedience? I think we all realize that's not obedience, right? And it's true. Obedience is more than just our action. It involves our attitude. Obedience involves both our attitude and action. Now, children, I want you to think about your obedience just a little bit here. I want to ask some questions. I want you guys to think about it, okay? Number one, can you take no for an answer? Can your parents say no to you without you getting upset? Maybe you're asking your parents, can I have some screen time? Now, if your parents say no, can you be okay with that? Children, do you listen on the first time? Or is it the third time? Or the fifth time? One thing about obedience is that obedience is obeying without challenge, excuse, complaining, or delay. That's what obedience is. Now, maybe some of you guys are thinking, well, my parents are mean or they're unreasonable. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys are thinking that, because I thought that when I was young. And I thought this, if my parents were better parents, I'd obey more. And maybe you guys are thinking some of the same things there. But I want you guys to consider the phrase, in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Obeying your parents is actually not an issue between you and your parents. Obeying your parents is an issue between you and God. And that you should obey your parents because you belong to God and because you love God. So when your parents tell you to do something, you're not to think about your parents so much as you are to think about God, and that God wants you to obey your parents. He wants you to think about Him, not so much about your parents and how good or how good they are or how bad they are, but to think about God immediately and how God wants you to obey your parents. Now, I want us to think about Jesus a little bit here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 51. I think this is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Luke 2, 51. It says, "And he, that being Jesus, went down with them," that being his parents, "and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." That is amazing. Why is that amazing? Because Jesus is the sinless Son of God, and his parents are fallen, flawed people. And we see that Jesus submitted to his own parents. If there was one person who could say, you know what, I'm more right than my parents, it was Jesus. If there's one person who could say, you know, I would obey my parents more if they were better parents, it was Jesus who'd be able to say that. But what do we find here? Mary and Joseph, they were not perfect people at all, but Jesus was perfect, and we see that Jesus submits to his parents. And so for you kids, when you don't want to obey your parents because you see that they're sinful too, I want you guys to think about Jesus. If Jesus could submit to his earthly parents, then we can submit to our parents, right? And I want to talk to some of you guys who have regrets about how you were as kids, right? Maybe you're thinking about the fact that you were such a rebellious teenager growing up, and you have a lot of remorse and shame about that. I want this verse to actually speak into your life, because, you know, we talk about Jesus living in our place. And let me tell you, Jesus lived in our place even in those days when we were mean, rebellious teenagers. And so at every place where you failed as a child in obeying your parents, Jesus was faithful in your place for you. And so be blessed by that. I know a lot of us, we have regrets. And if I could just address the parents here a little bit, it's so important that you instill obedience in your child, that your child has a heart of obedience because it's for their spiritual welfare. And so just like as we teach our kids, hey, you know, don't steal and don't lie, we're also to teach them to honor their own parents, which is us. And that might seem a little awkward for you guys, but that's so important. It's for their spiritual welfare. They need to get this idea that they need to obey their parents. And so there should be this expectation in the home for the kids to obey, and to obey without excuse, challenge, complaining, or delay. I mean, that's the standard that we set in our homes. Now, I want to give a word for many of you who are adult children. Your parents are still alive. You still have a relationship with them. A word for you guys. You know, as we get older, what happens is we start seeing our parents as people, don't we? I remember that starting to happen as I hit college, and it was kind of weird. My parents were not just parents anymore, but I saw them as people. And when you see them as people, you begin to see more of their flaws. You begin to see more of their weaknesses and their sins. And boy, it's so easy at that point to become far less patient with our parents, to become more judgmental, to become more dismissive of our parents when we see those things. But I think we need to remember that they're still our parents and that we still need to honor them. And I think this is a great word as the holidays approach, Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're going to be spending time with our parents and to just remember, hey, they're still our parents and that we need to honor them. Now, it's not the same where we have to obey them in the same way we had to when we were children, but there are some ways in which we are to honor our parents. And one of them is just respecting them. And a lot of that involves communication, right? That when they speak, we still listen. It doesn't mean you have to obey, but you still listen. And it also means that when you speak to your parents, it's done with a tenderness and a gentleness. And honoring them is not only respecting them, but I think it's remembering them, being mindful of them, checking in on them from time to time. And you know, when I say remember them also in the sense that they labored and sacrificed for you to raise you up. I remember one of the first things that happened to me when we first had kids, and I saw Laura's life being sucked out of her as she's trying to take care of our kids. I was thinking about how my mom or my parents did this for me when I was little. And then I was thinking about the fact that I was a rebellious kid in a lot of different ways, and how wrong that was in light of the fact that those first few years, man, they just emptied themselves for me. And oh, putting those two things together, it was kind of shameful. There was a lot of repentance there. I think it's healthy for us to remember our parents and to remember the ways that they sacrificed for us. And I think honoring them is caring for them as they age. 1 Timothy 5 talks about taking care of our parents if we need to do that. And I know some of you guys bear a great burden in taking care of your parents. And I just want to encourage you and say, you know what, that's pleasing in God's sight. That, you know, that is such a commendable thing. You know, it's so ordinary and it's very sacrificial. You know, you don't get your name in the paper for it. But it's awesome in the kingdom of God. It's glorious. And I want us all to relish those opportunities when we can honor our parents. You know, that's part of our Christian witness. What I would hate is that for all of us in this room, as believers, that we are the ones who are maybe the absent children or, you know, the weak link in the family. No, as believers, part of our witness is, okay, you know, going to honor my parents. And I know for some of you, that's a grace move. It takes a tremendous amount of grace to do that for some of you, because maybe your parents weren't there for you. They didn't care for you like they ought to have. They made a lot of mistakes. But you know what? We're grace people. And maybe that's one of those ways that you have to really grow in the gospel, by showing grace to your own parents, to honor them. But I pray that we would do that. Now, it's interesting how Paul finishes off this command. He says, you know what? This commandment, it comes with a promise. You know, you honor your parents, it'll go well with you. You'll live long in the land. And so this commandment, it comes with a promise. And here Paul, he's providing incentive for us to honor our parents. And let me just say, this idea of, you know, that it'll go well with you and you'll live long in the land, that's an Old Testament expression of God's blessing over your life. And so there is this promise of blessing as you are faithful in honoring your parents. And Paul is saying, hey, there is this direct connection between honoring your parents and being blessed in your life. There's a direct connection there. And he doesn't shy away from it. But he puts a spotlight on it. And Paul's not afraid to be labeled a prosperity preacher. He's saying, this is the truth. This is God's word. People who honor their parents, they will be blessed. God's blessing will be on their life. Now, you know what's really interesting is if you go back to Luke and, you know, you read about Jesus being submissive to his parents, and what does the next verse say? It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I think that's really interesting how those are put together. Now, I cannot make an argument and say that Luke is trying to show us how Jesus really is the fulfillment of that fifth commandment of honoring your parents and then, you know, it going well with you. But I think it's interesting how one follows the other. Now, whether Luke was actually trying to do that, I'm not sure. But you see Jesus honoring his parents and then flourishing spiritually and in the world. And those things, I think, go together. And, you know, I want to explore this connection just a little bit. You know, in life, you just need to get authority. Like, you need to understand that because you can't avoid it. You know, there's authority structures at work, at school, at church, in your marriage, in homes. It's everywhere as a citizen. And so you need to be good at receiving orders and following orders. You need to be able to be told what to do and then to do it. You need to be able to perhaps disagree but still go with the program. Those are just things that we need to learn, you know, in life. And here's the thing. When you despise authority or you hate people telling you what to do, you hate being corrected, you have that rebellious streak in you, life, it just gets messy, doesn't it? You know, if you struggle in that way with authority, it's hard to stay in one job. Because after a while, your bosses and your supervisors irritate you. At some point, you know, you just begin to snap, and then you got to move on to another job. And you know what? It's also with church, too. A lot of people who don't really get authority or don't do that well, they can't last long in a church. You know, after some time, they're going to have an issue with a decision in the church or with a leadership. You know, they disagree about one thing, and then it's like, okay, it's like moving on. And so we need to get authority. And it's even in marriages. And, you know, for wives, Pastor Aaron's been covering it, you know, to submit and to respect, you know, your husband. But if you don't do well with authority, then marriage, it becomes miserable. You'll despise your husband or he'll despise you, one or the other. What I'm saying is, when you get authority and you know how to come under authority, you begin to thrive in every setting that you're in because you cannot avoid it. And that basic relationship between parents and children, that is the training ground, you know, for you to understand authority. And where's the greatest impact in all this? What setting has the greatest impact? It's our relationship with God. Because with God, we have to learn how to obey and submit and to follow, right? And to even be corrected. And so an understanding of authority, it sets us up to spiritually flourish. Our relationship with our parents is an earthly representation. It's like a mini model of our relationship with God, and it points us to our relationship with God. Like, think about it. Our parents give us life. We're made in their image and in their likeness. And for our dads, we call them by the same name as we call God. We call him Father. And so a child's relationship with his parents, that's the training ground for his or her relationship with God. You know, people wonder why in the Old Testament a rebellious son was killed or stoned to death. They're like, whoa. But what they don't get is this. It's because that relationship is a mirror of the relationship between us and God. And it reflected a deeper rebellion against God. And that shaking your fist at your parents is like shaking your fist at God. And so that's why it's so serious. When our children have the ability to obey their parents, they will also have the wonderful ability to obey their Heavenly Father. And let me put it another way, that if our children cannot obey their parents, they don't have that ability, what hope do they have to obey their Heavenly Father? If they can't obey their earthly parents who they see, how can they obey their Heavenly Father who they do not see? I have yet to find someone who is a rebellious, disrespectful son, but is flourishing spiritually, doing well with God. Those things don't coexist. And so that's why it's so important as parents to establish authority over our children, to raise them with the ability to obey us, because it pays dividends in their spiritual walk. And for those of you parents, you have young children, this is one of those first things that you have to establish in the home, like right away, that your kids know who the boss is. It's not them, but that it's you. And the quicker that they get that and they understand that, it's going to pay such dividends. It's going to produce such blessing in their relationship with the Lord because they understand these things. Is there kind of like a works-based dynamic in all of this? Okay, if I obey, my parents, if I honor them, my life's going to go real well. I will say this. God's blessings are not earned in that sense. But I will say that when you obey God, understand it this way. When you obey God, you experience more of what you already have in Christ than the next person. Does that make sense? You and the believer next to you, you have all of the riches of Christ. But the reason why somebody experiences the blessings more than the other person is obedience. You both have Christ fully by faith, but why is it that there are other believers that are more mature, more joyful, more full of faith? Part of it has to do with obedience. You experience more of what you already have in Christ. It's like having a guitar. I have a guitar at home. I barely play it. I still play songs where it's just really four chords. I have not improved since college, so for 20 years I've plateaued. But it's always interesting, when there's someone who plays guitar, and sometimes they take out my guitar, they start playing it, I'm looking at them like in wonder that my guitar can actually do that. It's amazing. I'm like, is that the same guitar that I'm playing, where I'm just playing four chords, and they're going off in the potential, like, my guitar's able to do that? Is that really mine? I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that. But you know what? The Christian life is like that. We all have Christ, but there's some of us who's experienced more of the blessing, because of obedience. And so understand that. Understand that dynamic. So it is true. As we honor our parents, as we get this idea of authority, it will go well for us. It will go well for us. And let me end just here with a word of hope for all of us. Maybe you have children that you feel like they're not obeying you like they ought to. Maybe you yourself have a real bad relationship with your parents. And it's just been like that, and it's really awkward, it's not good, it's not healthy. And you wonder if there's any hope. I want you guys to know this, that you guys have the same spirit that Christ had. Where here's the Son of God, full of the Holy Spirit, submitting to his earthly parents and ultimately to his heavenly Father. And when we come to faith, Jesus so generously gives us his Spirit, who can strengthen us and empower us, you know, to submit and to obey. And your children have access to the Spirit. We too have access to this Spirit. And so these commands are not burdensome, as the Apostle John says. Why? Because we live in the kingdom of grace. And we have the Holy Spirit. And so as we hear this command here, hey, honor your parents, obey your parents. Don't be so bogged down by that, but know that, hey, I have the Holy Spirit to do this and to pray for that. And I pray that we can all be so faithful in honoring our parents. It matters. Paul highlights it. It needs to be on our minds, and I pray that we would be a blessing in our homes. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the parents that we have, that you've given us, our earthly parents. We thank you that you give us relationships that teach us about our relationship with you. And God, we pray that we would honor you by honoring our own parents. And Father, I pray for the young children in our midst today, that you would give them hearts of obedience through your Spirit, that it might go well for them, that they might live long in the land, that they might experience your blessing. And for us, Lord, the parent relationship points us to our relationship with you. And God, may we grow in our submission to you. May we grow in our devotion to you, to follow after you, to say no to ourselves and yes to you. Oh God, thank you that you are our great Father who loves us and cares for us. You are not a stern Father, but the Father who gave his own Son for his people. And Father, all the more may we gladly submit to you in all things. Oh, Father, be glorified in our lives and in our homes. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.